is a light in the darkness. Oh, your name is the word of truth. We proclaim the name of Jesus this morning. The only name that is worthy to be praised, the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we rest in this morning. Your name. There's no other name worthy to be praised. There is no other name worth worshiping than the name of Jesus. And God, this morning we pray that as we listen to your word, as we listen to your message, God, that we would rest even in this time, the time we have left together today, that we would rest in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And God, my prayer this morning is that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would give us boldness, and God, that you would give us sensitivity to your leading in each of our lives. As hard as that might be sometimes, as much as we want to get out ahead of you, help us understand that's impossible. Because you are the beginning and you are the end. And so, Father, speak to us this morning. We love you and we're grateful for your love for each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Kids, you are dismissed. How many of you like moving forward in your life? Like you really like moving forward. Don't like moving backwards and like taking steps back. How many of you like to move forward and wait? Does anybody like to wait? Shirley likes to wait. That's awesome. Hey, listen, I'm looking for honesty. So I want to talk to you about, this morning, I want to talk to you about two words, forward and waiting. And what I really want to focus on is the story about the children of Israel as they were promised the promised land. And Moses went up on Mount Sinai and Moses was given the tablets and given the word from God. And what the children of Israel were doing while Moses was on the mountain. How well they waited. Kathy's laughing. She knows the end of the story. Okay? But I want to read to you something this morning that I really believe is a core principle with these two words, forward and waiting. And it's this. I say, you cannot follow God forward in fear, only in faith. So we're going to pick the story up on the verge of where the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. But before that, we know that what were they doing? What were they doing before? Right, they were on the verge of the promised land. What were they doing leading up to that? Anybody know? Wandering. It literally says they were wandering in the wilderness. Right? Have you ever wandered? My brother raised, he was quick. Boom. I'm proud of you at 48. You have a keen sense of the obvious. So if you're going to follow along this morning, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 24. And, you know, you can read what Moses received from God in the following chapters. But I want to focus this morning on a couple of verses, and then I'm going to share a few other accompanying passages as well. But when we get to the end of chapter 24, we read about Moses going up on the mountain, okay? We read about him going up on the mountain, and he was going up on the mountain to get a word from God. And so Exodus 24, verses 14 through 18 says this. It says, Moses told the elders, "Stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I am gone, consult with them." Then Moses climbed up the mountain, and the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. So they had been wandering. They'd been wandering, probably getting a little tired. I would imagine that region of the country, having been there before, it's not cold. It's warm, okay? And if there were anybody with the build that I have, Michelle, they were probably sweating a lot, okay? And the other luxury I have is that I carry with me something all the time that some of you probably don't carry. But I actually carry a bearskin rug on me at all times. I'm serious. I got a lot of hair on my body. You're welcome. You can go home with that visual today, and your life will be so much better. But listen, it was hot. It was not comfortable. The terrain was rough. It's not an easy terrain. They were wandering, and then God calls Moses up on the mountain, and he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And what were the children of Israel doing for 40 days and 40 nights? Waiting. Now, I'm from Seattle. That's where I was born and raised. I lived there almost 30 years. In fact, 28 years I lived there. And for 28 years, I never got to experience a sports championship. Ever. Not one. A lot of teasing, like 116. I was alive, but I don't remember the Sonics. The Sonics, which no longer exist, by the way, so we won't go there. But I had to move to Georgia in order for the Seattle Seahawks to win a Super Bowl. Thanks. That's awesome. So I didn't get to enjoy the parade. I didn't get to go to any of the games. I got shirts mailed to me. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I waited and waited and waited. And they finally won. Now, that was 28 years of living in America, enjoying life, having a good life. I know this was 40 days and 40 nights, but listen, they were waiting to enter into the promised land. Okay, this was not a sporting event. This was not a vacation. They were waiting because they had been promised the promised land. So Moses goes up on the mountain. He appoints Aaron and Hur to essentially be the babysitters, as we'll hear in just a minute, while he's gone, for these unruly children of Israel who have to wait for Moses to come down from the mountain. And they wait, and they see the cloud, and they see the consuming fire, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. If you're married, raise your hand. Men, keep your hand up. Have you ever had to wait? Keep your hand up, because the answer is yes. Okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you what you had to wait on, because you know what I'm talking about. Brad Paisley wrote a song about it called Waiting on a Woman, right? And I've never had to wait on a woman. And I'm a liar. You can put your hands down. Okay? Ron knows what I'm talking about. You wait on Ron. Ron? Come on, man. Man card? Sheesh. But we've all had to wait. We've all had to wait. I remember as a kid growing up, man, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. And I remember waking up early on Christmas morning and running into my mom and dad's room, saying, hey, it's time to get up. And Dad would turn over and say, go back to bed until it's legally Christmas morning. Those are the words he told me. And I'm like, I think that's stupid. So, he may not even know this. I'd go peek just to see if Santa had come. And he did. Then I went back to bed. And I slept well because I knew what I got to look forward to. So we just went to Anna Maria a couple weeks ago with Mike and Alicia and Nolan. And as we're driving down there, it's about an 8.5-hour drive. My 5-year-old, Ava, she really is good at waiting. Really good at waiting, okay? So we got about halfway down, and I was surprised it took this long, but we started getting the are we there yets. and how much longer? And we would drive by this nasty milfoil-filled pond, and she'd go, Daddy, is that the beach? And honestly, if we had said yes and stopped and blown up the air mattresses and done everything we do at the beach, she would have had a blast. But what would she have done? She would have settled for a cheap imitation of what she really got to experience. And what she really got to experience was, in her words, isn't this the best life? Those were her words at five. But if we had settled and said, yep, Sierra, right outside of Gainesville, between Gainesville and Ocala, this pond on the side of the road with the two palm trees that I'm sure were fake coming out of the ground, this is the beach. And we're going to stay here, and we're going to pitch tents, and we're going to have our flamingo air mattresses or whatever. She would have been fine. She would have had a blast, but settled for a cheap imitation. So, the children of Israel are antsy. They want to get moving. The last thing they want to do is wait. They want to get there. Ava wants to get there. She wants to get to the beach. We want to leave the house. Like, we want to be punctual. We want to be timely. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. They're getting antsy, and they're getting ready to move. So, what I'm about to share with you sounds a little bit contrarian to what I had said earlier, but I want you to follow me this morning. And it's simply this statement. It says, to follow God forward, you have to learn to wait on Him. To follow God forward, you have to learn to wait on Him. Because if you don't wait on Him and His perfect plan, what are you going to do? You're going to settle for a cheap imitation. How many of us have done that before? I've done that. In our haste, in our desire to just move things forward, in our desire to see things move forward in our plan, and we slap the, well, this isn't this great. God provided this for us. This is cute. Moniker on it. When God says, man, if you just wait, if you just wait, if you just rest in me, understand that my plan is perfect. It's not your timing, it's my timing, but just wait, and He's got something great for you. Several years ago, I was working at a church just down the road here, and Tammy and I really felt like that time at that church was coming to an end, and I had actually accepted a position back in Seattle. And I moved there in the summer, and Tammy and the kids stayed here to try to sell the house. And the house never sold, and the house never sold, and the house never sold, and I hated the job, and I hated the job, and I hated the job. And so after the summer was over, I made the decision, you know what? As hard as it might be, I'm done. I'm going to move back to Georgia. We have nothing. I'm not moving back to a job. I have a house and a family, but there's no income. I don't know what we're going to do. I didn't have any interviews lined up, and we waited. And we waited. And we waited. And God began to slowly provide. Not the way I wanted Him to provide. In fact, there were many a nights, and Tammy can attest to this, where I was literally in tears. Literally in tears. Saying, man, what is the story that God is writing? What is going on? I worked at Best Buy for a period of time, making much less than I was making, working at the church. And we waited, and we were promised this job, and we were promised that job, and it fell through, and it fell through, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And God opened up a door for me to be where I'm at currently. And 13 years ago, when I started that position, in 2006, I had no idea. No idea that I'd be sitting here today in the situation that Tammy and I and our kids find ourselves in. Had we not waited, and if we don't continue to wait, we would have and we will settle for a cheap imitation of what God really wants us to experience. Going back to Exodus, in Exodus 32, verse 1, it says this, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So you see what's happening there. They're getting just a touch impatient. They're getting just a little bit antsy. They're getting, in fact, I would consider angry. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for somebody to lead them. All the while, God is leading them. God has a perfect plan for them. But they're not willing to wait. In fact, they are willing to settle for a cheap imitation, as we'll read here in just a second. But my challenge this morning is if you're waiting, maybe you're in a period of waiting and you're saying, Chad, you have no idea. Whether it's waiting in a family situation, maybe it's waiting on a job, maybe it's waiting on a promotion, maybe it's waiting for word back from the doctor on a health situation. Whatever it is that you're waiting for this morning, can I challenge you with this? And it's simple. It's three simple words. Don't change course. Don't change course. Don't think that your plan is better. Your plan might be quicker. Your plan might bring you satisfaction now, but don't change course. Odeon, keep rooting for the Florida Gators. Things will improve, my friend. Maybe not. Sorry. But they will. He's confident. I love that. And he's waiting. Yeah, okay. We're going to move on. So they haven't heard from Moses in a while. And they decide that waiting is just not good enough. And you may say, okay, Chad, if I'm waiting, how in the world do I discern what God's will is for my life? How in the world do I have this continually revealed to me? Can I encourage you today? There's one place. There is one place and one place alone. And it is one of our core values at our church. There's one place for you to find what you're looking for. And that's the Bible. It's the inerrant Word of God. Let me just tell you something. You'll never hear our pastor. You'll never hear me or any of our leadership communicate that we're going to separate ourselves from any part of the Word of God. Because I want you to understand something. We're in the Old Testament a lot this morning. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And in His coming, quite frankly, He made the Old Testament more relevant than it was before His coming. So it's really important for us to understand that in this period of waiting, in these periods of waiting, as hard as it might be, stay on course. So the people demand from Aaron, they demand from Aaron that they need to manufacture something. Give us a God to follow. Give us something to follow. We've been sitting down here waiting from this man that God has appointed in Moses, and he went up on the mountain, and we don't know what he's doing, and it's been 20 days, and he's still not down, and yet we're still sitting here waiting. And so here's Aaron's reply. Aaron caved. Exodus 32, 2 through 4, it says this. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. All the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. From this, I would say, if you're in a time of waiting, the second thought, two simple words, don't settle. Don't change course. And don't settle. Because again, you're going to settle for a cheap imitation just like they did. A golden calf. That was who they wanted to they were going to follow. That was who they were going to take their allegiance to. And I know this sounds ridiculous. But remember, the Bible is not just a story. As you read the Word of God, place yourself in the story. Because it was provided for you by a God who loves you, by a God who has a plan for you, by a God who will reveal that plan in His perfect timing, not ours. And make no mistake, you're going to have to wait sometimes. You're going to have to wait sometimes. And listen, I know. That stinks. But the ironic thing that's happening here is that Moses, who's up on a mountain receiving this word from God to help the people of Israel, to help them connect with God in ways they've never connected with God before, to help them have an intimacy with God that they've never had before. And what'd they settle for? They settled for a golden calf. They settled for a cheap imitation. I've been to several foreign countries, and what I'm about to say is certainly not diminishing their spiritual practices in those countries, but it's amazing to me the idolatry that goes on in a lot of these other places around the world. And when you walk into a Hindu temple or a Buddhist temple or a, you know, whatever it might be, maybe it's a Roman Catholic, you know, cathedral. Every time you walk into these places, there's idol after idol after idol after idol. I literally walked into one in India, and it was this big elephant, this big stone elephant. And there were little like pads of butter. Butter. Yes, B-U-T-T-E-R, butter. And people were going in and buying, like putting coins in for a pad of butter and throwing them at this elephant. And I asked the missionary who we were with, I'm like, I mean, that'd be awesome to have butter thrown at you. But, I mean, what's going on? What is this? And he said, they feel that if they do that, that the gods will be happy and they'll treat them well. Really? Really? And I sat there and I thought, you know what? We serve a God in Jesus who loves us unconditionally. And guess what? All we have to do is accept that love. We don't have to do anything. It's unconditional. We don't have to throw butter at Him. We don't have to light candles for Him. We just have to serve Him. Worship Him. Why wouldn't we wait on His perfect plan? So settling is always costly. I'm going to fast forward here, Peyton. Lamentations 3, verses 25 through 27. How many of you, when you came here today, thought we would hear a verse from the book of Lamentations? Does anybody know what book comes after Lamentations? Somebody look. What comes after Lamentations? And tell me. Did somebody say it and I didn't hear it? I'm deaf. Okay, oh, you said Ezekiel? There you go. Here's what it says. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. In the soul who seeks Him, it is good that a man should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Did you get that? It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him. To the soul who seeks Him, it is good that a man should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. Think about that. God has something good for you if you wait. God has something incredible for you if you wait. And for some of us, we might be waiting for a long time. A long time. I've told you, Tammy, in my story. In fact, the last time I spoke, actually 2 times ago, I told you our story about how Tammy had miscarried twice. And then in 2013, Ava comes along. Totally shocked. We were shocked. I mean, not after Tammy was pregnant for 9 months. We weren't shocked. We figured that a baby was going to come. But when she got pregnant, we were shocked. But we waited. And I'm just going to tell you, she's perfect. Some of you might be looking at me going, have you watched her in class? She was worth the wait. I'm broke because of that, but that's okay. It's awesome. But she was worth the wait. You guys are getting ready to adopt again, right? Is that right? You, Jennifer, I'm looking at you. I know they're adopting, but is that public knowledge? Because if it's not, it is now. You're considering it.
Yeah, I think we've all.
Okay. And you guys are adopting from China, correct? How much longer do you have to wait? Another 12 to 16 months. Is that going to be easy? Was it easy? It wasn't easy. We have some friends who are now missionaries in Ethiopia, and they were trying to adopt a little girl from Ethiopia before they actually went over there to be missionaries. And they had gone through everything. They'd gone through all the hoops and jumped through all the different hurdles and everything. And at the 12th hour, they went over there to get their daughter from the orphanage. And the judge ruled against them. They had gone through this for almost 3 years. And so they felt like God was calling them to Ethiopia. And you know what? I read a post from Steve the other day. Steve and Katie Bennetson. And he said, you know, we're still waiting. We still believe that she's our daughter. And we're still waiting. And he said this, because God's plan is perfect. Because God's plan is perfect. Here's a guy who has waited for over 3 years to adopt this little girl from Ethiopia, out of an orphanage where the conditions are terrible. And the judge said no, and he still says, because God's plan is perfect. And so we're waiting. That's not easy, folks. Listen, I want it now. Like, I like the microwave. I do not like the crock pot. But let me tell you, I like a whole lot more what comes out of the crock pot than what comes out of the microwave, especially if my wife's cooking it. Did you follow that? That was a food analogy, Patrick. Okay, it resonates with me big time. Okay, I like so much more what comes out of the crock pot than what comes out of the microwave. When you look back at 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, I love that passage. It's the passage that we base everything off of at our organization. And it's where David was communicating the vision to build the temple that would house the Ark of the Covenant. But what most people don't realize is that back in 1 Chronicles 17, David, the prophet Nathan, confirmed the vision that God had birthed in David's heart to David. 1 Chronicles 17. There were years between 1 Chronicles 17 and 1 Chronicles 28. From when the vision was confirmed to when David began communicating and Solomon began building and the temple was completed, there was a lot of waiting. But had David settled, and he could have settled, he could have built a cheap imitation, he could have settled, but had he waited, the line of David, to be honest with you, would probably not be the line of David that we see today. From David to Solomon, and so on, and so on, and so on. But he waited. But he waited. And if you continue to read 1 Chronicles 28 and 29 and following, it's unbelievable. Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. Did they go through a lot of persecution? Yeah, they did. But here's what I know. In our busy, 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 busy lives, as we're waiting, as we're trying to conjure up something that we can create, as we're trying to conjure up something that is an answer that we want, not necessarily that God wants, that we want. Can I just encourage you this morning with something? We all, and I am the chief of sinners in this, we all must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our life. We've all got to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our life. I will get in my car tomorrow morning, hopefully before 6 o'clock, and I'll drive to the Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson International Airport. I will probably sit in traffic, which I absolutely loathe, and I will wait. and I will wait. And I'll get to the airport probably 4 hours before my flight, because if I don't do that, I'll sit in traffic for 2 hours. And I'll work, and I'll probably watch an episode of Designated Survivor. It's a great show. And I'll wait. And I'll wait. And then I'll get in an airplane, and I'll fly for an hour and 20 minutes, and I'll land in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'll go rent a car, and I'll drive for 2.5 hours to Clarksburg, West Virginia. Anybody been to Clarksburg? It's what I thought. You only go there to do one thing. Well, now two. Help churches raise money. But drugs. It's the highest concentration of heroin and crack dealers in the state of West Virginia. And Center Branch Church is making a huge difference. But I'll get to get up tomorrow morning at the crack of dawn, and I'll wait until 3 o'clock in the afternoon to sit with a group of leaders who want to literally change their city for Jesus. And I know that that's what God has for me at the end of my day tomorrow. I don't want to wait. I, honest to God, I want to be there right now because I love it. But I have to go through all these different things to be able to fulfill what God wants me to do. I am convinced tomorrow what God wants me to do is to encourage a group of leaders that they can do this, to give them tools, to give them strategies, to be able to accomplish what they're doing. They're buying a broken down Toys R Us building. But I have to wait, and we have to wait. So I'm going to finish with this. Some of you have heard of John Ortberg. Some of you have been in John Ortberg's house. But John wrote a book. He's written several books. But he wrote a book several years ago, and in this book he said that there was a moment where he was considering this waiting principle. Like, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. And I'm sick of waiting. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to a friend. So in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he tells of a time, and I'm going to read this, where he had taken a teaching pastor role at a very large church. Which a couple of our people have been to several times. He was getting overwhelmed by the enormous work, and he was getting tired of the just kind of the bureaucratic processes. And he reached out to a longtime friend, a longtime spiritual mentor by the name of Dallas Willard, and many of you have heard of Dallas, and asked him how he could bring back relational and spiritual vitality to his life because he was sick of just waiting and going through the motions and doing and doing and doing. So he pulled out his pad and paper and he asked Dallas, he said, "What do I need to do to be spiritually healthy?" What a great question. Like, we are obsessed, some of us more than others, on being healthy. But how many of us ask the question, what do I need to do to be spiritually healthy? How many of us ask a trusted friend that question? Well, he did. And Mr. Willard paused for a long time, and then he said this. And you've already heard it this morning. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. So John quickly wrote it down, the book said, and then waited for the next word from his friend. Silence, John said. Okay, ruthlessly eliminate hurry, that's good. I got it down. What else? John wrote in the book. I had many things to do, and this was a long-distance conversation, so I was anxious to cram as many units of spiritual wisdom into the least amount of time as possible. So he said, okay, what else? What else do I have to do? Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life. That's great. That is a huge nugget. He's probably wanted to tweet that. And after a long pause, Dallas simply said, there's nothing else. To be spiritually healthy, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. This is a foreign concept to us. because we all want what's next. I asked the question at the beginning, how many of us like to move forward? All of us raised our hand. In 2003, when I came down here to take a position at Hamilton Mill Community Church, I was running and gunning for about a month, just going. From Seattle, very large church, fast-paced ministry, had every resource at our fingertips, and I'm just going for it. And about a month into me being there, many of you know Ashley and Jeremy Bell. Ashley's mom, Danette, was my assistant. And she sat me down, as sweet as she is, as southern as she is, and she said, "Now, I got to tell you something. I don't know how you did things in Seattle, but you're killing people here. Your pace is way too breakneck, way too fast. You got to slow down. Don't be in such a hurry. You'll still accomplish what you want to accomplish." I've shared that story I don't know how many times. I mean, it literally changed my perspective. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Don't live for tomorrow. Because if you live for tomorrow, you're going to miss what God has for you today. If you live for an hour from now, you're going to miss what God has for you in these next 5 minutes. If you live for the next 5 minutes, you're going to miss what God has for you in the next 30 seconds. Last night, this smacked me upside the head pretty hard. And I think it's interesting how God, when you're planning a message like this, puts you in situations as the guy who's going to deliver this message where it feels like a 2x4 just slapped you upside the face. And I'm sitting upstairs watching the Braves game, waiting for a phone call. Waiting for a phone call. Waiting for a phone call. And Ava came up to me. And she said, "Hey, Daddy, let's go outside and play." And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, after this phone call, I will." And you know what she said? She literally looked at me and said, "Never mind." And went to Tammy. And they went out and played hide the fairy house in the backyard. And I literally stood at the window and watched her run through the backyard having a blast until it was dark, getting bit by mosquitoes. It was awesome. We love the West Nile virus at our house. It's incredible. We don't really. But man, I missed the moment because I was living for what was next. I missed the moment. I don't want to miss the moment. I don't want to be in such a hurry. I don't want to be in such a hurry for what's next and what's next and what's next that I miss what God has for me right now. So this week I want to encourage you to do one thing. Practice slowing. Just practice slowing. In John's book he wrote, he says, "The practice of slowing involves cultivating patience by deliberately choosing to place ourselves in positions where we simply have to wait." How many of us get excited about the thought of placing ourselves in positions where we have to wait? I don't, because I don't like to wait. So this week, this next month, I want to challenge you guys. And I get it. Pastor Carl stands up here every week and he gives us challenges. Hey, this week try this, this week try this. But I want to implore of you that you try some of these things. And you might laugh at some of these things, but when you think about it, they're pretty good. And these aren't my ideas. These are John Ortberg's ideas. So I can get you his email if you want. You can email him. What about deliberately driving in the slow lane on the freeway? Here's what he says. "It may be that not swerving from lane to lane will cause you to arrive 5 minutes or so later than you usually would, but you will find that you don't get nearly so angry at other drivers." When I was teaching Sierra and Peyton to drive, I would always tell them, "Don't worry about the guy on your butt behind you. Worry about following the law, obeying the law, going the speed limit. There's no hurry. So that's why this week I got pulled over in Gillette, Wyoming for going 12 miles an hour over the speed limit. I didn't get a ticket. And it was 4 a.m. I was in a hurry to get to the airport. And another one of those God moments, I got to the airport in Gillette, Wyoming at 4:15. It doesn't open till 4:30. Why are you in such a hurry? Drive in the slow lane. Here's another idea. Eat your food slower. Force yourself to chew at least 15 times before you swallow. We used to do something in our house. I think Tammy secretly hated it. I don't think it was a secret. I think she was pretty clear she hated it. But the kids loved it. We would eat our dinner, and we'd play these word games. Like, we're going to go around and name, all of us have to name an animal that starts with an A, and then an animal that starts with a B, and then an animal that starts with a C. When I look back on those times, man, those meals were really enjoyable. They really were, because we sat and we did something together and we didn't focus on just getting done and getting to the next thing. So maybe eat your food a little more slowly this week. How about for the next month when you're at the grocery store, look carefully to see which checkout line is the longest. Get in it and then let one person go ahead of you. I'm so sorry. I'm pulling Colleen way out of her comfort zone. Listen, it's not in my comfort zone. When I go to Walmart, listen, I'm up. I'm like, okay, you stay here. I'm going to go over here. Okay, no, come over here. Okay, now I'm going to go back here because I don't think this one's as long. It's ridiculous. And believe me, in those moments of waiting, in those moments of slowing down, be open to what God might do. Maybe that person that you let in front of you in line needs a blessing. Remember Carl talked several months ago about blessing people, looking for opportunities that God puts in our way to bless people? You're only going to see those, you're only going to find those if you slow down. So there's countless other ways of slowing down, but I don't want you to lose the sight of the purpose of this. And I wrote this down. It's simply this. It is developing the habit of waiting in this life. Developing the habit of waiting in this life so we become better at waiting on God in our spiritual lives. It's just like anything else we do. If you do it over and over and over and over again, you create a discipline. And all of us should strive more to create spiritual disciplines in our life than we do our daily disciplines in our regular life. And waiting and slowing down, we don't veer off course. In waiting and slowing down, we're able to see exactly what God wants for us. In waiting and slowing down, we can see the opportunities that God puts in front of us to bless other people. In waiting and slowing down, we get the opportunity to see the doors that God opens for us to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to those in a lost and dying and hurting world. It's not easy. Understand, it won't be easy for me, and I know it won't be easy for you. But be purposeful about this. Slow down. Wait on God. Because God's plan is perfect. Don't settle for a cheap imitation. Because in waiting, we could actually receive from God His full blessing. I don't know about you, but I want His full blessing. So here's some next steps. Practice slowing. We talked about that. Practice slowing. Continue waiting on God. Continue waiting on God for His perfect answer. Don't change course. Don't veer off course. Stay the course. But most importantly, and again, every time that I talk to you, every time I get an opportunity to teach, this is going to be something that accompanies what I have to say. Because it was the greatest decision I ever made in my life. on March 31st, 1986, when I said yes to Jesus. Because you know what? God's waiting for you. If you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to say yes to Him so that you can fully experience His blessing that He has for you. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing. I don't want or need man's blessing. So maybe you have not reconciled that in your life. Maybe you have not crossed that line of faith and accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I'll be the last one that leaves today. If you're not sure if you've made that decision, or maybe you've gone away from Him, I would love to talk with you. There's nothing magical about what I'm going to say, but I would love to talk with you. Because as much as we talk about waiting, we have to understand there's only one perfect example, and that's Jesus. And He's waiting on all of us. He's waiting. Because He understands that in waiting, perfection comes. That in waiting, the fulfillment of His blessing comes. And He wants that for every single person on the face of God's green earth. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for Your love. We're hesitantly grateful for this principle in waiting, and understanding that in waiting, we can actually move forward faster in Your kingdom and towards Your blessing than settling, veering off course, and settling for a cheap imitation of what You have for us. And so, God, I just pray that You would challenge us, remind us this week to slow down, to ruthlessly eliminate all hurry in our life, just to slow down. Take an extra 5 minutes. Chew 15 times. Get in the slow lane. Find the longest line at the grocery store. Maybe there's something else that You'll challenge us with. But God, when we do those things, I pray that You give us an opportunity to see the why behind the what. Why are You asking us to slow down? And God, continue revealing Yourself to all of us. Keep us in Your care as we go from this place today. Again, I pray for Carl and Lisa, God, that You would continue to give them rest and relaxation and rejuvenation as they're down in Florida. Bring them back to us safely this week. We love You. And we're grateful for Your love for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you drive in the slow lane, still go the speed limit. Because what would Jesus do? He would at least go the speed limit. Okay? Love you guys. Have a great week.